Ruth chapter number 1, verse 14. We'll go down to verse 18. And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. In verse number 4 is where we're first introduced to Ruth. In verse number 4 it says, And they took them wives, Mahlon and Chilion, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And in the next verse, verse 5, the Bible tells us about how how Ruth and Orpah had lost their husbands, Mahlon and Chilion. And down in verse 7 through 8, Naomi then tries to leave the two Moabitess women in Moab, which was reasonable, you know, for her to. And she explains in verse 11 and 12 her reasoning behind that. She tells them in verse 11, and Naomi turned, and Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they might be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I shall say I have hope, I should have an husband also, and if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." So that's a pretty reasonable thing for her to think, you know, for her to leave her daughters-in-law back home, and then for her to go back home. I mean, that's a completely reasonable thing for her to think, not out of the way or nothing. And but these two Moabitess women that became her daughters-in-law, they loved her. If they didn't love her, she didn't, you know, she wouldn't have cared for them. But you can see that they clearly loved her, so she had to have cared for him very much. And but the one we can see loved Naomi more than the other one did. When Naomi told the daughters-in-law to go back to their mamas and their daddies and go back to their gods and back to their people, they cried out and told them, you know, we want to go with you. And she said, no, go back. You know, I don't have any more sons. Go back to your people. So Orpah, she said, all right then. And she went back to her mama, her daddy, her people, and her gods. But Ruth said, no, I don't believe I will. I think I'll go with you. There's too much God about you. There's something different about you than I've seen about everybody else in this land. So she clave to her. The word clave means to adhere firmly, close to, remain loyal to cling to. And that's what I want to preach on this evening by the title of Someone to Cling to Cleave to. We can also see this in the same allegiance, you might call it, the same someone cleaving to someone else. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll flip over there. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. In verse 19 of 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then will I follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people that they did eat. And then he rose up and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. So we can see that Elisha, he's just going about his business, plowing in his field with 12 yoke of oxen. And Elijah comes by Elisha, and he casts his mantle upon him. And he must have seen something different. He must have known that that was a man of God. Because immediately he said in verse 19, verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. He wanted to leave everything. That was it, right there. He made up his mind in an instant. He said, You know what? Whatever this man's got is better than what I'm doing right now or anything that would happen if I just stayed here. So he wanted to follow the man of God. He wanted to cleave to the man of God so he might gain wisdom, that he might gain understanding that he wouldn't have if he was just going about his business plowing oxen. We can who do we cleave to? Who do I cleave to? Who or whatever we cleave to, we're going to seek to walk after in that way. In Amos chapter 5, and I've really recently been looking over in Amos chapter 5, a really great book. I'm not sure why I haven't preached out of it any more than I have. I preached out of it Sunday night when I was out visiting that church and I was preaching over there. But in Amos chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Go for good and not for evil. Go for God and not the devil. Proverbs chapter number 3 says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. If we cleave to ourselves, first of all, that's selfish. Second of all, we're not going to learn anything but what we already know, and that you're not going to learn anything. Cleaving to other people will have an effect on your life. Whoever you cleave to, it's gonna show up in your everyday life, and we can see that just as just right off the top of your head. You don't even have to think about it. If you're around someone, you're gonna pick up attributes of them, and they're gonna pick up attributes of you. Who do we have the attributes to in our everyday life? I'm not talking about here in church. I'm talking about in our everyday life. Who do we have the attributes of? And I preach this. I preached this just the other day. Whose are you? Whose are you? I was preaching out of John chapter 12, I believe it was, when Jesus was talking with the Pharisees, and they said, "We're the seed of Abraham." He said, "Yes, you are. Yes, you are." And then later on, they say, Abraham is our father. We're Abraham's children. He says, hold on now. You might be the seed of Abraham. You might have come from Abraham, but you're not. Abraham's not your daddy. You don't act nothing like him. You're wanting to kill me. If Abraham was here, he wouldn't be wanting to kill me. But here you are trying to kill me. You're of your father, the devil. They're taking the attributes of the one that they look up to. I'll put it that way. Whose attributes do we have? When we're out in the world, who do we cleave to? In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, we'll flip over there real quick. There's where you mark a page. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse 4 through 5. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. In verse number 4, it says, But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. I think when he said that, I think of that one verse. I believe it's in Romans. For death is the wages of for sin is I can't think right now. Death is the wages of sin, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says right here, but ye did that cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. If you're cleaving unto the Lord, now I'm not saying that you won't sin, because we're everyone human beings, and that's just in our nature. But we, God forbid, as as Paul said, God forbid that we should use the grace of God to go and sin. God forbid that we should do that. We ought to live as holy as we possibly can and live after Christ as to the best of our absolute ability. And with that being said, who in our everyday life do we cleave to? Who are we showing to the world? Are we showing the attributes of our Father? We're going to. If Jesus Christ is our Father, and we cleave unto the Lord, that's who we're gonna reflect. That's who people, if someone that did not know anything about me just knew that my name was Josh, that was it. If someone stuck around me and knew my daddy, knew Mark, like, you know, real well, after a while they'd pick up, "Are you Mark's son? Are you Mark Stewart's son?" They'd pick up after a while, after being around me for a little bit. Same goes in the Christian life. If you're around God, if you walk after the Lord, if you're trying to have a closer walk with the Lord, if you cleave unto the Lord, that's going to show in your everyday life. The world is going to see that, are you a Christian? And God forbid if we, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." We ought not be ashamed of our Father who leads us and guides us, who blesses us every single day. I'm blessed beyond measure to just be standing up here, let alone in my everyday walk, just the regular things that happens throughout my day, that is a gift from God. We should never take it for granted, even though we do. We should never take just each and every breath for granted. But like I was saying, once we're around the world so long, hopefully it'll take shorter than longer, but they'll start saying, "Hey, are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian." "Yes, sir." "Yes, ma'am." "I'm a Christian." We ought not to be ashamed of that, because there's nothing to be ashamed for. In Deuteronomy, still in Deuteronomy, chapter number 10, Deuteronomy 10, verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him thou shalt cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God that hath done these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen." In verse 22, "Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude." Following God, it's nothing new to be said, but it is to be said. Walking with the Lord isn't going to bring you death. I mean, I just quoted in Romans, I believe it's in Romans, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Walking with God isn't going to bring you it will. If you love the world, love the things of this world, but and then try to walk after the things of the Lord, you're going to have friends leave. You're going to have habits try to bite you in the back. You're going to have temptations. You're going to have temptations, period, trying to walk through this world. But it's going to be far more blessed than anything you could have lived up for, anything you could have inherited from this world, because that's only temporary. The things of this world collects rust, and moths break through, robbers break through and steal, where moth and rust doth corrupt. But the things of the, I can't think of the verse right off the top of my head. But the things of God are eternal. The trophies, or the steps you walk with God, those aren't just temporary things. Those are things that are going to carry on through all eternity. But the things of this world, that's going to stop. If they don't stop before you die, they're going to stop when you die. You're not carrying the things that you inherit from this world into eternity. That's not how it works. So cleave unto the Lord. I preach the message, why not have faith? The Lord has done too much for us to not have faith in Him and trust in His Word. We ought to cleave unto the Lord like how Ruth clave unto Naomi. She didn't know what she was getting into, but I'm sure Ruth was far more blessed. I mean, I can just say that without even having to study the book of Ruth that much. I can, with a clear conscience, say that Ruth was more blessed than Orpah was. It only mentions Orpah, I believe it's 3 times in the Bible. And Ruth, I should have looked when I was studying, but it mentions, I mean, the book is, the book isn't called Orpah, it's called Ruth. We see down the line, when Ruth had Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, the king of Israel. That was David's great-grandmother, I believe. Grandmother or great-grandmother was Ruth. If she would have stayed in Moab, she would never have met Boaz. She would have never been blessed with all the things that she was if she had not clave unto Naomi. If she had not gone with her and left everything that she knew. And I'm not saying just pick up and go wherever because you have a spur of the moment thought. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about listening unto the Lord and following after what He has for your life and what He's guiding your life to go in, cleaving unto Him, cleaving unto His Word. If think of what Elisha's life would have been like. It would have been a whole lot different. He would have just stayed on where he was farming. He would have kept plowing if he had not gone after Elijah. There's a whole other message that could be preached just right there, just preaching about Elisha and Elijah. But he clave unto the Lord. If he had not clave unto the Lord, think of all that all of us would have missed if we had not listened unto the Lord at one point in our life. Dad wouldn't have been here. We wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have been standing up here. I mean, there's so many things. If we had not listened unto the Lord and clave unto the Lord and trusted in His Word, there's so many things that would have been absolutely sideways in our life had we not clave unto the Lord. We'll flip over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Don't cleave unto this world. I see so much wickedness just throughout the day, and I'm not even, I mean, we're here in the mountains of North Carolina. We're not even in a big city. We're in a very, you know, tight tri-state area. And just where I go to school at, where I do my everyday goings, there's so much anti-Christ, anti-Christian wickedness that goes on. I mean, just in Hayesville, and Warren, Brasstown, Murphy, Andrews, Franklin. I mean, just in this small little area, there's so much wickedness. And it's so easy to just get trapped up in it. But the Bible says here in chapter 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. If you surround yourself with the evils of this world, the wickedness of the day, and the children of disobedience, you ought to abhor it. Abhor every work that they do, every word that comes out of their mouth that is anti-Christ. Run from it. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few be there that find it. There's fewer, it seems like fewer and fewer, just by the very day, that enter in at the straight gate, enter in at the wide gate, excuse me. Enter in at the wide gate that leads to destruction. It seems like every single day there's more and more. Just stay one step further into the gate. One step further into the gate. And less, it seems like, just from my point of view, just seems like fewer and fewer going into the straight gate that's narrow, that leads to life. The world is evil, wicked. I've been going over that this entire time that I've been preaching. The world is evil and wicked, and nothing that they have to offer ought to interest us. But God offers eternal life. He offers blessings beyond belief, and a life that's worth living, for sure. But I guess the final point of my message is just cleave to Him. Just cleave unto the Lord through the hard times, through the bad times. I know, that's way easier said than done, I know. But cleave unto the Lord. That's what I've got.